So I will fully admit I wrote my sermon at least three times this week. And there's some laughter. It was serious. Because there's just a lot going on this week. And it's kind of like a birthday party with no RSVP. So I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. Slight panic attacks here and there. But as you can see, it all worked out wonderfully. And part of the journey this week was remembering about the stories. And being here with you unofficially for almost 4 years, it'll be 4 years in Advent, that I came into your presence and started doing pastoral care for you, started preaching on Sundays, and started learning your story. Learning the story of resilience, of overcoming tragedy, of just all the things that has happened in your life cycle. Hearing those stories, sharing that resilience, that perseverance that you have was encouraging, is encouraging, and drives hope. Hope and that faith that you have, the welcome that you give to those who enter the doors, the humor, all of that blending and combining into an understanding of who God is shaping us to be. And I say shaping because I fear we're continually called to be transformed. Martin Luther, that was his thing, is transformation, reformation. That we are continually conforming and reforming because that's what the Holy Spirit does within us. That's the light and the fire that is within us. And as we go on that kind of that trail, the other piece was what stories will endure, will continue on after us as this body of believers, after we age out, after we go to our heavenly home. What's the stories that this community of Conway and the surrounding Skagit Valley, what are those stories they're going to tell about us? What are the future people of this church going to say about the pioneers in 2023? The pioneers of faith that as the world is changing and shrinking and just getting harder and harder to live within, what are the stories that will persevere of us, of our resilience? So I was curious, as we wrap up Romans this week, we've kind of learned throughout that it was an entire letter, not taken piecemeal, but an entire letter that was read in one sitting. And this entire letter, when we look at it, it's kind of hard when we piecemeal it out, because Paul can come across as kind of harsh and kind of anti-feminism and kind of he's just kind of judgmental at times. But my challenge this time was to look at him in a different light, look at his readings in a different light. And when we look at the lens of Paul's letters in Romans, particularly today, in that lens of faith, hope, and love, the faith that Paul had in God the Father, that faith that he had, that he knew that this is the faith that would endure for the people in Rome, and that love of Christ, that love, that penalty that he paid to help free them from the one path that was set before them, to open it wide, the gate wide to all the people, the Gentiles, the Jews, everyone that made up Roman civilization. He opened that door. And then in that, the Holy Spirit, that hope that we have. And so that changes the perspective of which we see in Romans. And with today, as he said, he can kind of come across a little judgmental about the weak and the strong and the quarreling and what you must eat and what you must not eat. And he's saying, no, don't let those distractions detract you. Don't let those distractions tear apart the community, but let it be an opportunity to blend and come together in understanding, an opportunity to practice that love that Christ gives so freely for us. Practice that grace that God gives to practice these things while living in this community, while they're all kind of figuring out, because they're in the moment. They're trying to figure out how things are going to work. You have all these different views and lifestyles all coming together. But he's saying, how can we focus that? Get away from the distractions and focus on the fact that we do not live to ourselves, we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Those are the focuses. Paul is saying, let go of all these distractions and to focus on that, to focus on the love of God that flows freely through us. And for us, and as Lutherans, that continuing story, it's being that encouraging presence to those who are coming from a different style of life than us. That's coming from the city instead of the country, coming from not rooted in the valley as the forefathers that have settled this place. Those newcomers that come in, like me from Idaho, thank you. But all those pieces that are transforming us, because we're not like we were 135 years ago. We aren't three divided communities or parishes that were along this valley with two different pastors. We aren't the ones that would cross the bridge, and if you went to Conway, you would ignore the people that for Conway. You just kind of walk by, no one should look at them. We're not the ones that would sneak over to go look at the girls singing choir, the boys in confirmation. We're not that anymore. We are joined together, being one body of all different perspectives and understandings, but we have that commonality because as Lutherans, we have been given that free grace. That love of God that flows freely through us has been given to us, and that is what we example to others. And also in that kind of blend of the Lutheran lifestyle, or that Lutheran tradition that we hold so dearly, is being that encourager of our faith, watching and responding to the needs of our neighbors, becoming authentic in our faith and who we are, not being ashamed that we are Lutherans, that we call ourselves Christians, because that word is being taken away from us. Is being reclaimed, and we need to reclaim it to show that just the power of the Trinity that lives within us and resides within us, and how to shine that when the world is trying to be cast in darkness. And to wrap up in this journey that we're kind of taking, is for us, I want us to experience and continually experience God's love unfiltered. To be renewing in us and the vitality of this community. So as I was saying, what's our story going to be? We have power over our story right now. So we need to decide, what is our story going to be? As we continue to rejoice in the Lord, as we remember our roots and where we come from and where we are going, the adapting that we've done, the letting go that we've had to do, the hindering of our growth, to cast those and remember that we are beloved children of God, and renewing the spirit that sets us free, that blows new life into our DNA. And as we live in community with one another, I hope and I pray that we get to share our story for many, many years to come. Amen.